Okay, we are here, everyone. Thank you guys for waiting, everyone. We are here. We've been having just a little summer difficulty, but I'm Kate Thompson, and this is Kate Thompson Live, and we are doing news information, international news and information, and, you know, we're going to be talking to Wayne Gilman, and he's going to be calling in just about a minute. You know, we have had quite a day today. You know, more things are going on, and so many things are happening. You know, we know about, I want to talk to you about a few things, that especially with what's been happening there in Texas. Now, there's a prayer walk that's planned as an inquiry continues in the jail death. And this is the story of the church of a Chicago area woman who was found hanged in San Texas jail cell earlier this week. And they're planning a prayer walk on Sunday in her honor as an investigation into her death continues. And authorities say that Sandra Bland hanged herself with a plastic bag 3 days after being pulled over by police for a traffic violation and then arrested for allegedly kicking an officer during the stop. But friends and family have questioned that account. As a matter of fact, those of us who have been watching television about this case ever since it started, you know, we also know exactly what was going on because they did have a television presentation of it and showing the body cam from one of the officers who was wearing, you know, the body cameras. Now, the 28-year-old black woman's death at the Waller County Jail comes amid increased national scrutiny of police after a series of high-profile cases in which blacks have been killed by officers. It seems that this is going on around the country. We're waiting to also talk to Wayne Gilman, and Wayne is calling in right now. Are you on the air, Wayne? Are you there? Wayne Gilman, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Okay. Yeah. Great. Finally we got on, I see.
Yeah. We had a little difficulty. We may be having a difficulty during the summer months, you know, but we're trying to really work this thing out. You know, I'm talking about that case of the Chicago woman, you know, who was found hanged in such a jail. You know, now she's
right. It's a horrific story. I mean, the thing is that this woman seemed like she was innocently pulled over, and there's been evidence now that even though the authorities in Texas don't want anyone to jump to conclusions, but there's evidence admitted by the authorities that they hadn't given the police officers or the Texas Rangers in that particular area the training that is required.
Yeah.
And it seems like the officer himself was out of line, so it's going through the utmost scrutiny. But it's tragic. I mean, this poor woman seemed to have had an activist past. There was some video clips of her talking about, you know, not trusting the police, the problems with the Ferguson incidents in Brooklyn, things of that nature. So, I mean, she was certainly politically aware of what's going on. And I didn't get the impression at all that she tried to accelerate the problem when she was basically confronted with the police upon the time of her being stopped. But the way things... Go ahead, Kay.
Yeah, she was perfectly within her rights. Because in fact, there's nothing that says that you have to stop someone for nothing. You have to give them a reason. And of course, this policeman was, you know, very rude in saying that, you know, what he was going to do to her. But you know what I'm saying? What was happening? What's interesting with this, Wayne, is that they're saying that they committed suicide. You know that is BS. Now, she was from Naperville, Illinois, and she was stopped for failing to fix lane change, so they say, but we saw this tape. And she was in Texas interviewing for a job at nearby Prairie View A&M University. And that's a historically black college from which she graduated from in 2009. So, therefore, this woman is the kind of person who's going to commit suicide because of some idiot.
Well, no question about that. I mean, the family seems to support that theory that, you know, this couldn't be. And anything that you could glean from what you see of her in the internet offerings that she made before her death, you know, she's a very intelligent woman. She's someone who is aware of the politics with respect to police brutality. And and she knew full well what was about to happen to her as that incident escalated into what it was, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if the officer expected her to be passive and submissive, and especially in a situation like that out there, because Texas has a history of this level of abuse.
A long history at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
back to James Byrd.
Yes, yes. The Texas Department of Public Safety said the state trooper who pulled her over planned to give her a written warning, but she became uncooperative and argumentative. Now, you know, we saw the tape. She wasn't argumentative. She was insulted that she was arrested. She was being pulled over for no reason. She was arrested after she allegedly kicked the trooper. That wasn't obvious. That wasn't even on the tape, so that didn't happen. And then she was taken to the county jail. And I think this was probably an earlier report anyway, because, you know, it's been all over the tube, and it certainly tells a more complete story. And it says that she was still in jail Monday awaiting posting a bond when she was found dead in her cell. A medical examiner ruled her death as suicide. That is BS. You know?
Furthermore, Kay, I mean, what's so amazing about this is that there seems to be evidence that the dashboard filming of the entire incident when she was stopped seems to be something that basically has been doctored based on what people are saying, you know? So it's a situation where, yeah, they're saying that, you know, that the police department, they're alleging that the police department edited that video clip. So there's really no empirical evidence to.
Yeah,
you did hear that, you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, the deal is that, you know, for the authorities to come out and say something so conclusive, you know, certainly the story bears more scrutiny and stuff like that. So we'll just have to wait and see how things pan out.
Yeah, but you know, one thing I also heard, too, that they're going to be asking Loretta, what is their last name, the new attorney general? Loretta Lynch to come in to and look this over, because it's a murder. It has to be a murder. There is no way in the world I would believe that this woman, who was going for a job at her college, you know, at her old college, would commit suicide. That is, and how in the world they're saying that she put a plastic bag from a garbage can, you know, around her neck and hung herself? Come on. You know,
And the arresting officer suggested that he was going to light her up, whatever that meant,
you know?
Mm-hmm. So I often wonder, you know, I mean, just to even say that and know you're being videotaped is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's so annoying to hear again. Now, you know, because these things are happening too much. I'm looking, too, you know, I'm really annoyed and very angry just because it's going on and on and on. There was a young black man, too, who was shot earlier today, so I have to get more information on that, you know. But also now, you know, we go back to the investigation regarding the, you know, Eric Garner Chuckhole's death.
Right.
You know, it says here, all the protesters are rallying outside of the courthouse Saturday to call on the federal prosecutors to indict the white police officer who put the black New York City man in a fatal chokehold a year ago. Another murder, okay?
Well, I'm glad, you know, that they're keeping the level of protest up, not to cut you off, Kay. I really think it's important that they don't forget. The settlement with the city of New York for the tremendous sum of money that they offered the family, you know, is no elixir for this problem. It doesn't anesthetize anything. And, you can't bring a life back, and money is not something that's definitely going to make it easier for them to understand what happened to the loved one.
It says here, too, and this is in, I think this is the Star Ledger. It says here, too, that the rally for Garner, really, Garner's family, that brought them together with the loved one of other blacks whose high-profile deaths have prompted outcry and protest. And then they go on to mention, again, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown,
Exactly.
It was the second day of protest to mark the anniversary of Eric Garner's death. As you know, that happened on July 17th in 2014. He died after the police officer placed an arm around his neck to take him to the ground, and a grand jury officer declined to indict the officer. We all saw it. And the man was saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And they just kept on squeezing until they killed him. So they are guilty of murder. So that's the whole thing, a chokehold death. You know, and there's so many other things going on.
It's just tragic that we're living. I mean, here it is now, 2015. We're still going through the same level of abuse that occurred 40, 50, 60 years ago. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. The same kind of thing. And what's happening is that the protesters said they want the charges to be brought now. Now, the founder of a nonprofit called the Black Institute noted that a former official with FIFA, F-I-F-A, FIFA Soccer's governing body, was appearing in the same courthouse to face charges of racketeering and bribery. And they're saying if you can indict FIFA, you can bring an indictment in the Eric Garner case. You know, I mean, what is going on here? This is so ridiculous. It's really, really very
interesting. I don't understand the foot dragging with that, and hopefully, I mean, if one thing, the changing of the guard, you know, with the, at the level of the Justice Department with Loretta Lynch's appointment as the nation's top cop. But the bottom line is, irrespective of that, there is no reason why things could not have taken place. I mean, even before the city offered its award, there should have been a decision in terms of appointing somebody to make sure that, that this cop who was involved with that. I mean, what more do they need to see? I mean, it was caught on film, you know? I don't know why they have not indicted him, you know? There's always two forms of justice when it comes to the police.
Yeah, and because, you know, racism is alive and well, you know? And they're not hesitating to members of the different communities. That's all there is to it. And there's no doubt about it. And if anyone thinks that things are that much different, they aren't, and you keep hearing about it. And we still have to keep demonstrating, and you need to get hundreds and thousands of protesters to protest this. As a matter of fact, in Newark, New Jersey, there's protests going on. So it has to
right.
be the proof has got to be placed, you know, on the people that we're paying our taxes to, you know, to keep us safe. Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, there's some question as to who they're keeping safe. That's the problem.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, you know, about Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton. He organized a rally outside the Brooklyn Federal Court. And he says, in the name of Dr. King and others, we're asking the federal government to come in and bring justice for Eric Garner. He has to go on and on. Why do we have to go on and on and on with this? I'm glad he's there. I'm glad he exists.
Reverend Sharpton has, you know, he is really, really, I mean, when you look at his history and where the country was when he began, because he really started out as a youth minister, and we were just on the precipice of having historic changes in the civil rights movement. You know, the Voting Rights Act was enacted back in the mid-1960s, and then we saw, you know, the passing of Malcolm X, the shooting of Martin Luther King, and all that. And then Sharpton, you know, even though a lot of people didn't take him seriously in the beginning, you know, when you see his rise to political power, you know, we should be grateful that this man is still around. That even all that is going on now, you know, that we still have to turn to him with respect to getting a sense of community leadership. And he's really one of the unsung heroes of our time. You know, I mean, it's not an easy thing for what it is that he has gone through, and he's paid a price physically for doing that. And you know, thank God he's in a position now where he's getting a lot of national attention. But you know, still in all, with all that, Kay, you know, the cases come up one right after another. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're living in an age of social media. And you see so much of this now that you didn't see before, you know. And it's not just black and white. It's everybody who's been affected by it. The Mexicans, I mean, you see what Donald Trump is doing to the Republican Party with his, you know, daily outrage, you know, commenting on what's going on. You know, it's like there's a need for Americans, for some reason, at least one corner of our society, to stir the pot for no reason at all. And I find that highly unacceptable.
Sure, of course it is. And, you know, I'm going to be staying with this article for a minute because it says here that the widow of Eric Garner and hundreds of protesters on the outside of a courthouse Saturday to call on federal prosecutors to indict the white police officer who put the Black New York City man in a fatal chokehold a year ago. I didn't know that hadn't happened yet. The family said that they would never stop fighting for him. And the rally brought Garner's families together again with loved ones of other Black Americans whose high-profile deaths have prompted outcry and protest. Again, about Trayvon Martin and the kid in Missouri, et cetera, et cetera. So when you hear this over and over again, it just makes me so absolutely angry. Ferguson, he said this kid was 17 years old. He was shot to death that's about a Florida man. He was shot to death in Florida in 2012 by a man who reported a suspicious person in his neighborhood. I think that was Brown. The 18-year-old shot by police in Ferguson last August, and Graham, another 18-year-old, shot to death by New York police officers in 2012. All of their families joined the Saturday demonstration. It really is something that I have a lot of trouble dealing with because we're hearing it over and over and over again. Now, also, involving the Latino community, they're saying, too, that the police killing of Latinos draws little attention also. Now, this comes from California, I think. It says that Chris Ramirez never saw police as a threat. Growing up, his body didn't tense with us versus them dread when police cruisers drove through his southeast Los Angeles neighborhood. If someone is wearing a uniform, you show respect, he said. Then last year, four days before Halloween, a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed his brother Oscar Jr. along the railroad tracks near Paramount High School. The deputy said that the 28-year-old did not comply with all orders and moved his arm in a threatening manner. I mean, come on.
It's just sad to think,
And they held vigils out there. In California, they've held the vigils. They are in front of the Paramount Sheriff Station, but they struggled to find wider support for their cause. As the family grieved, the National Black Lives Matter movement picked up the energy, bolstered locally by the fatal shooting of Ezell Ford, a mentally disabled Black man, by Los Angeles Police Department officers. There's another one. And watching it, I'm quoting from the newspaper, because I hadn't read this before. A mentally disabled Black man by Los Angeles Police Department officers. Watching the protests over Ford's killing, Chris Ramirez felt frustrated. Now, this is a Latino person whose brother was killed. Why can't we get the same type of coverage of health? And the music reaction of the Latinos in confrontations with police tells a larger story. Black Lives Matter is starkly different from Brown Lives Matter. In contrast to the fatal shootings of African Americans such as Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Walter Scott in South Carolina, deaths of Latinos at the hands of law enforcement haven't drawn nearly as much retail.
It's not getting that they're not getting the coverage that they deserve. There's such a commonality of interest there. The media really should be doing more of its job and pay attention to stories like that as opposed to what's going on in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, exactly. I'll even go further. It says that a federal judge on Tuesday ordered the release of a video showing Gardena police officers shooting two men, killing Ricardo Diaz, Zaffarino, an unarmed Latino. And the video has been viewed millions of times on YouTube. It generated national media protests, but very little coverage. National media, but very little protest. And then it says, over the last 5 years in Los Angeles County, coroner's data show that Latinos, who make up about half the county's population, also represent about half the people killed by police. All right, of the 23 people fatally shot by law enforcement in the county this year, 14 were Latinos. What is going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, you wish you knew the answer to stopping half these things, and we don't have it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Excuse me. It is. It's totally illogical. I just don't know what it would take. You know, to basically, it's not even about the government. This is a societal problem that we have to examine ourselves. You know. I mean, yes, we can turn to the government and ask for help, but, I mean, we have to look at ourselves as to how this nation is basically evolving, you know? I mean, we're going through a period where there's constant change more than ever before. There's greater acceptance, you know, when you look at what's going on with the issue of the transsexual movement and, you know, what gays have achieved in terms of equal rights, in terms of marriage and stuff like that. Why is it that we're still dealing with issues like this, Kay, in terms of, racial hatred and things of that nature, the abuse that, and it always seems to be defined by color, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The reality is, though, that, for instance, when the flag was, the Confederate flag was lowered. Now, the KKK, some of them of the Ku Klux Klan, they were parading with their flag. And they were confronted, where was it, in South Carolina, at Emanuel with a group of people also, demonstrated. And that was very uncomfortable, I understand. I'm just trying to get more of a fix on this, but anyway. So that was going on. Then Marco Rubio and somebody said something about Marco Rubio and somebody owing Obama an apology. I have not read that.
Yeah.
I have to explain that. Do you know what that was about?
I don't recall. I remember hearing about that, though. I don't remember exactly the instance what exactly occurred.
We'll get more information on that. And, I am telling you, it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Then
I read something really much more easy to take. Medical marijuana is now being funded for research. And it's still lagging, but at least people are looking into it because of the fact that people had thought that there was a possibility that medical marijuana kills cancer cells. They say, some doctors say, that it shrinks the tumors and prevents formation of blood vessels that feed into the tumors, according to the National Cancer Institute. However, the war is still very much on drugs. So that's something positive that you read. That this dreaded drug, so they say, is now being used for something medically that can help people, especially in the cancer area.
It's a thorny subject because right now, I mean, I have a lot of people know that I do real estate, and I have tenants who, I have a group of tenants basically who are advocating use of marijuana. And although the law has not passed in New York, there's someone who is anesthetizing his illness with it. I don't particularly care for, people smoking, which is a completely different issue. And one's, if you sign a document saying that you're not going to smoke, I expect you not to smoke. But on the flip side, it is a natural substance that once they take the hallucinogenic element out of it, and they take the chemical that basically heals. I think it's something that's going to be worthwhile and promising because there are a lot of people who are suffering from chronic pain, and if this could, do something to change the their whole outlook in terms of their medical ability to get back on their feet without having to go through tremendous pain, because basically the way I see it, this is a fight with the pharmaceuticals. They don't want to have the average person go out and grow this substance and learn how to extract the medicinal element within pot to make it worthwhile to use on their own, because, you know, you'll lose business, you know.
Yeah.
A great example of that is what's going on in the taxi industry now. You know, we have this phenomenon called Uber, and right away the value of a medallion cab, which was almost the price of a house in many places, no longer has this value. In the last 16 months or 6 months, I heard that there's been a tremendous drop, and the one person who owns the most medallions in New York City has just filed for bankruptcy. So when the progressive group that's basically advocating the use of pot for medicinal purposes, once they're in a position to do something about that, you know, the pharmaceuticals are going to be in an uproar, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens politically. And, you know, everything varies from state to state, but there should be a uniform national law, you know, as to how people should be governed with the use of this. I know Rutgers University out there by UK, they have their own individual study, and they've actually have farms in which they're doing the research. And here in New York, Governor Cuomo wants the drugstores to get involved, the pharmacies to provide use of the drug. But it hasn't passed yet. But it's a thorny subject, and it's quite controversial.
It is. But you know what, then when you're talking about having cancer and some disease that you know is a deadly disease, and then you happen to find out a drug or a plant-oriented something, even though it may be used for other things, the fact that it could possibly save a life, I would advocate it.
Oh, yeah, I understand, especially if somebody's in the throes of their, you know, final hours, you know, and there's an elixir there to save you. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm all in favor of it. But, you know, the deal is, I don't know why there's this foot dragging with respect to it. But it's got to be handled properly, because I can see where, you know, people are doing things and, you know, taking the law in their own hands. You just can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. But let's talk about your weekend there, Wayne. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you about today. We're in New York today. And,
really?
Yeah, we're going to there every now and then just to make sure that it's still there.
Well, I guess you must be going to the area that I can't afford to visit, Kay, like Manhattan.
No. Yeah, Manhattan, right. But I mean,
exactly.
Having worked over there at WLIBVLS for a whole lot of years, into New York, it's worse now than it's ever been. The gridlock is
please, unbelievable. But I try to avoid it like the plague.
I just want to tell everyone, you know, if they can get into the city, it is the most exciting city that I've been to, as a matter of fact, outside of some of the cities in the islands, you know. But because of the buildings and because of the growth of it, and because of it teems with humanity, it just moves. And we happened to go to the. We didn't happen to do this. We planned on going to the Museum of Natural History, you know. You know, I've been there in a long time. I think when it first opened it again with all the new things, when it was a big reception some years ago. I haven't been there since then. But they have these huge Tyrannosaurus Rex's bones and these huge animals, their bones right at the front door when you go in. I'm absolutely amazed with it, you know.
Oh, it is. It's very amazing. I went a couple of years ago when I was a teacher for some really undeserving kids in the South Bronx, but that's another story. But I had a chance to see, you know, what changes they made there, and it's a fascinating edifice. I mean, it's so beautiful with what goes on. And it's not a cheap tour either. You got to pay big bucks to get in there.
Yeah, but it's not that expensive. It's something that you can afford, you know. But I'll tell you what, there were a lot of people with children. A lot of, I think, because people may have had kids who are in camp. Now, some people are still in school, but there were a lot of students and a lot of kids there. It was, in other words, it was crowded, a lot of people. But I can see why, and I really want to find out about. They have things about how the Earth has come about and what's happening with, you know, the rotation of the planets and all that sort of stuff. I don't know if I really want to find out about that or not, you know. But anyway, really, that's scary, Wayne. I'm not kidding, you know.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
It was really interesting, and then we went into the park naturally. So.
Central Park. Yeah, this was a great day for that, Kay. I mean, that was time well spent. Yeah, beautiful day.
Yeah. So, and then I had to get involved with gridlock again.
I know you're such a mass transit advocate. I'm surprised you didn't take New Jersey Transit to New York. You know.
And I am an advocate of it, but the point is, we wanted to drive because I wanted to, you know, get the flavor. I wanted to drink in the flavor and the excitement of New York City that I missed.
Well, I hope you got a tummy full of flavor there, because I try to avoid it. I mean, the last time I went into Manhattan was last week when I paid a visit to see you, and I only went to the George Washington Bridge, and that's it. I was supposed to, you know. I was to go into Lower Manhattan earlier this week, but I didn't get around to it, so.
But we came back by the together, you know, with the, you know, so. But anyway, a lot has changed in Harlem, but then again, it hasn't changed at all, you know, so.
I'm hoping that things change. Yeah, I mean, the deal is for the better. I mean, the only thing with Harlem is that it is so integrated now compared to how it was when we were coming up, you know, that, you know, it's just amazing just how everybody, it's so cosmopolitan. I just never thought, you know, years ago when at least when I started out at the old WLIB, they were on 125th Street and Lenox Avenue there, the so-called school. I mean, it was predominantly black. I mean, a lot of decay and a lot of the problems that Harlem had been written about. And now it's, you know, everybody wants to buy one of those million-dollar brownstones if you're in a position to afford it, you know, and move in.
You know, I was working at WRD when it was there on, you know, 125th. When I started, it was on 2nd Avenue.
Yeah, right, you know, right. Just before you came, we were at 125th Street for many years, and when I say we, like as if I owned the company, no, it was, you know, Inner City was there at 125th Street, and prior to Inner City's involvement, the late Harry Novick, that owned a lot of the Lowy's theaters, had WLIB and what was WLIB-FM at the Hotel Teresa.
No kidding. I never knew that.
Yep. Yeah. But my compadre, Mark Rowley, and I were the last two people to leave the building on Lenox Avenue and 125th. And, that was our moment of history with them.
And so, what about the Apollo Theater? Is that still there? I'm assuming that it is.
Yeah, it's still there. You know, it's under different ownership, and they have a lot of concerts. I mean, they've managed to maintain the economic traffic through there, even though it's such a small facility. It only holds like 1,400 or 1,500 seats, but I guess because they can televise a lot of the shows, you know, it's different. It's different. Mm-hmm. So it's managed to come back.
Yeah. But, you know, there's another thing I'm looking at, Wayne, that I'm really very interested in. We're talking about the diversity for the Emmys on television. They're saying that there won't be any need for a hashtag Emmy so white hashtag.
What?
You know, in other words, you know, they're saying there won't be need for white women, you know, hashtag for the Emmy Awards. Let me just read
it. Yeah, yeah.
I think the next time.
I'm surprised it's so blatant with that.
Yeah, how about that? Well, the 67th Emmy Awards nominations announced Thursday underscored TV's push into diversity over the last year, and with nods for minority lead actors such as Viola Davis in How to Get Away with Murder, Taraji Henderson in Empire, Anthony Anderson in the comedy Blackish, which I love, and South Orange's Andre Brower, who is, you know, right here from New Jersey, in another comedy,
oh, really?
Brooklyn Nine. And then it says a win by Davis or Henson will be the first of the, for an African American actress in the dramatic category. And among
I'm really impressed with both of them. You know, they've done well.
And among the most nominated programs was HBO's movie Betty, a biopic of the blues pioneer Bessie Smith that earned 12 nods, including one for star Queen Latifah, a New York
native. Is that right?
I
never did see that. I'd like to, you know, I wouldn't. I stopped watching HBO after The Sopranos, but I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because Latifah is Jersey. You know, she's Newark. You know, she's Irving.
Right.
Yeah. And her father told my sister one time that when he had to see my sister in a while, he said, I haven't seen you since, you know, the last time I brought Latifah, you know, to the, or Dana was going at the time, Dana to the Thompson Dance Studio. Because apparently,
wow.
I don't remember her. My sister must have remembered her because she also knew her father. But,
right.
Wow. I'm so impressed with her, though. You know, she has to
she's come a long way, you know. And it hasn't been easy for her either, because I know she suffered some personal tragedy in her life. But, I applaud her. And she had a show on that was opposite Wendy Williams for a minute there. I thought she was doing well. I don't know what happened to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But real nice person, down to earth, and I'm just glad that she.
Jersey. You know,
come
Wendy's
again?
Also Wendy's also from Jersey.
Yeah,
so
I tell you.
We have talent in Jersey. Yes, and they're old friends. So you know it's.
And I think she still lives. She lives in West Orange now.
She lives in Jersey.
Well, I don't have her, address, but there seems like a number of people in that well-protected gated community there. Because I mean, she's even mentioned it on the air. That's how I know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not out to expose her.
No. Yeah, really, really great though. I'm so sorry that about Whitney Houston, because Whitney used to go to the dance studio also. And I remember her mother saying to me that I haven't seen you since I used to bring Whitney to the studio. So, but
right,
yes, I think
right.
And there was also, who else? I forget. And there's another singer who, went to the studio, Cynthia Gorman. And she is now a jazz singer, international jazz singer. Her father was So, a lot of people went to, the Thompson Dance Studio in Newark. So, there's a lot of stuff going on downtown Newark. Let me tell you something. In the beginning, especially around the Performing Arts Center, it has like a New York flavor, which is good.
Yeah. I was impressed with the Black Film Festival. I mean, is that still going on or is that over now?
As a matter of fact, I think that was the reason why we were a little late on, because it's going on tonight. And, our team here, we had to, some of them went to be there. So we made a little late starting to get that out,
Right.
So many things going on. And then, of course, with the whole political thing, Raf Baraka, who is the mayor of Newark, and Insane Israel. And because I say that, because I knew his father and I knew his mother. I saw his mother at the jazz concert in the museum not too long ago. But Raz Baraka, the son of Amiri and Amina Baraka, is the new mayor of Newark, and I understand he's doing pretty well. And he has a good reputation. When he was an educator, he was the principal of one of the high schools there, and what a fantastic job he was doing.
Right.
And I don't know that much about the administration, what's going on really, but I've heard good things. So, he's probably taking care of business the way he should be.
Okay? Yeah, from what I read, he's very progressive, and he's always lands on the right side of certain controversial subjects. And I think he's done a lot to try to end that image of violence in Newark because even when Cory Booker was there with all of his contact with people of fame and fortune, he could not end or anesthetize that image. And Ross seems to be doing a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes trying to get Newark to be calm as opposed to how it used to be. And that's commendable.
As a matter of fact, I will tell people that I got an opportunity to interview Mary Baraka with his wife Amina Baraka on our show, Gay Town Salon, some months ago. I think it was about maybe 3 weeks before Mary had gone into the hospital. So we got to interview, and they're old friends. And I asked I had her on the air talking to him and talking to her, and she was, of course, there with him. And, she's quite a singer. She's an excellent jazz singer.
So is that right? I never knew that.
So I said, you sing. I said, please, can you, sing? She broke right into a jazz song. No hesitation.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it was so fantastic. I was just so delighted that she did that. So I have that show. And it's on YouTube here. So if anyone wants to see the interview of on the K-Town Salon show with Mary Baraka and his wife Amina Baraka, it is on YouTube. We have not taken it off of YouTube. So they can actually hear her because she's just tremendous, and she's a lovely person and a good friend.
I thought we were over because I know we started late, but, it's 10 after 9 I'm seeing now. I mean, you would be a better judge at when the show should end more than I am at this point.
You think I'm technical, right?
Yeah. Kate, you didn't get as far as you have without being technical.
Where are we, Lisa, with the time here? No, she said keep talking, okay?
Okay, all right.
But listen,
we should have her on then.
Yeah, seriously, Lisa. No, she doesn't want to talk. She's involved in the film right now.
I don't know why when I mentioned Lisa, I don't know if Bill Cosby came to mind, but I was wondering, what is your take? And there's no correlation. I know Bill had nothing to do with your daughter, but
I said he had nothing to do with anybody that I know. In fact, if he did,
I don't mean to sound disparaging, because the thing is now, it sounds like as if with the deposition in that case that was leaked back in 2009, that he has grounds legally to challenge what's being said, and he's demanding a public apology. I mean, I saw that on the news tonight, and I was just wondering, what is your take on this, Kay? I mean,
I have no take on him. I actually have not. I feel when we first heard about it, we were so disappointed because, we knew from the Cosby Show.
Right.
And he was the dad, and he was the man of the house, and to hear this going on, I'm angry with him.
Yeah.
I have to say what I really feel about him, but how dare he do that? Geez, he's got a real problem. Is he getting what he deserves? I couldn't give a shit, to be perfectly honest with you.
Wow.
Well, that
came through loud and clear.
But it is, you know, that kind of stuff is not to be forgiven, and it's not to be looked at lightly. It's not,
the one thing I'm looking at now, and a friend of mine who frequently tunes in, he may be listening from Minnesota tonight. You know, he's always telling me, why does his wife stand by him in spite of all that is going on? It has become a circus now, and I have no answer to give to him. But you're a mother, Kay. I mean, you've raised a number of kids, and I'm not saying that you're in the same situation that she is in, but, you know, you've had a rather public life. I mean, with all due respect, because of the political things that you've done and your involvement in radio and television and all that.
Is your question, would I put up with something like that?
Yeah.
Hell no. I wouldn't stand by anybody.
So what do you think is in it for her? I mean, why do you think she...
I can't answer that. Look, I'd probably try to kill him. You know? You know, he's going to put me in a position like that? No, that's the way. But anyway, no, I can't answer that. This man has solved his serious problems. But I would never put up with it. That's my personal opinion. And that the reason why, Mrs. Costa, I can't answer that. I can't answer that at all. The man needs help.
It's baffling. To me, I would have distanced myself from him now, just knowing what's being said.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe she's standing by him because he needs some serious help. I think he should be in jail, but, you know.
Well, Obama said as much last week, I mean, without saying it like that, but, you know, you read between the lines, it was criminal what he did.
Yeah.
So,
that's
amazing.
You can't even cover that. It's very difficult to even think about, and it's horrible to say, because of what he meant to a whole lot of kids when he was that father figure, because that was such a delightful show.
It was
delightful. I had fun, and he was a funny person. And then come to find out that he did what he did, that is so disappointing. It's hard to fathom, you know, really, really, it's hard to take. Whatever he has coming for it at him, he deserves it, apparently. You know, he needs to have some help.
Yeah, well, especially at this time in his life, I mean, it just seems so unfortunate that, you know, you're right. I mean, what he did, if in fact this is the case, it's criminal. You know, there should be a price paid for it. I mean, and why? I mean, again, you know, not to belabor the point with his wife, but it astounds me. And, you know, when people ask me about it, I don't know what to say. So I think the main thing is that, you know, you look at money. I mean, he could easily divorce her and give her what she wants. So it's not about the money. I'm certain of that, you know. So there's got to be something else there. But it just, you kind of wonder, I mean, guilt by association, you kind of wonder, well, if you knew all that, you had to know something was going on. You know, you weren't living in a vacuum. And now it's just sad. It's 77, or I think he's almost 80 at this point. And to suffer this, I just think it's just tragic. But it is what it is. And I pray for him, and I just hope that his memory is not tarnished any more than it has been, because this is clearly an aberration. And
you know what?
I've seen. Go ahead.
You know what, Wayne? I couldn't care less. You know, for him to do something that like that to a whole lot of women, I couldn't care less what happened to him. You know, I think I'm annoyed with the women. You know, with some of them putting up with it. But if they were drugs, you see, I couldn't care less what happens to that man. It's a big disappointment. Would I stand by someone like that? Hell no.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, there's such a legacy there. I mean, and I don't know what it is with us. We become so successful. I mean, it just seems that somebody should start a school, you know, to educate people. It's not just a black thing. It's a white thing. It's, you know, it's something about being in that spotlight. And you're in a fishbowl where everybody can see how you're swimming and what you're doing, this, that, and the other. You know, there needs to be some sort of modification program that people could undergo to know how to treat success. And because, as you said, I mean, he was one of our heroes, you know, and to see him go down, it's just one of those things, you know. And I see it with him. Wesley Snipes now is trying to bounce back. I see he's finally got some work, and he did his time. You know, we could go on and on. You know, no one is exempt from this, but it's just tragic, and that's it. I don't mean to end the show with the Paul cast over the program, but, you know, I just had to ask you about her, about Mrs. Cosby.
We can talk about absolutely anything, you know. I would prefer to talk about the happy things. However, these things are in the news, so you have to deal with them. And just if you want to hear like what our opinions are, my opinion is that you can go take a swift jump. You know, I'm really annoyed at the fact that he is not the person that we saw he was.
Exactly.
Anyway, he deceived women. He deceived his children. He deceived the idea of family. He deceived the idea of a strong black male. Of a father figure. I mean, he was just, no, I don't like him anymore. No, definitely not. So, he's freeing from using some very, very vile language. And you know,
you've said it a lot tonight, you know. Hit the nail on the head. I mean, no one can excuse you for that, Kay.
Only because of you, Wayne. Listen, you know, when you get older, you just
I bring out the anger, huh?
You know what I said? I said, when you get older, you just don't care. So
that's true. You earned the right. I'm glad I didn't marry you, Kay. Yeah, I know. My history speaks for itself. I'm sorry, but, I understand. You say what you speak your mind.
Yeah. Well, you weren't in the running anyway. I hate to tell you that.
Well, I know I'm not in your league, Kay. You know, I'm amongst the minions and the dregs of society here in New York. You know? But I admired you way back when. So I said, but I'm not the one that fell off the yacht now. I don't want you to be confused.
Yeah, the yacht was nice. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But listen, I don't know if we're at the end of the show right now, but if we are, we have to say so long to everybody until next Wednesday, and we're going to be just trying to get the show on the air on time. But, there are little difficulties in the summer because you are dealing with, you know, the internet and a few other things. I think we can probably end the show very safely. And I don't even have any music right now to do this with. But, by the way, we're going to be doing, you know, a whole slew of new shows starting in the fall. So that's what we're working on also. And we're going to be having a forum to know me. And the women are going to be able to dance to the radio music and, you know, do it.
Wow.
And the music is
great.
Yeah.
That's
so, great.
On this end, I'd see 20 after. I could be wrong, but I thought you started like 10 after. So I'm assuming that we're over.
Yeah, we have 11 minutes. I'm looking at the clock here. Yeah, because
11
we did
minutes.
Start 11 minutes. Yeah, is that 11 minutes?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's about 4 minutes here. It doesn't say 11. Yeah, it's about 4 minutes here. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 minutes. So,
okay.
But that was good. So we had to call. Before it started so late, but, you know, there's a little difficulty. We're going to be changing the name of the show anyway, dealing with something international, because we are doing a whole lot of stuff internationally. And we are going to be talking to people outside of the country.
Great.
And by the way, Congressman Dow Payne Jr. is going to Africa with President Obama. Was it this weekend? Congressman Dow Payne Jr. Congressman Dow Payne Sr. has passed, my brother-in-law.
Right.
And Congressman Jr. is going to Africa with President Obama this week. I don't think that's out there in the news, but right now it is.
That must be very exciting.
Yeah. So, and the gala was this week, by the way. And it was.
And how was that? Because I was unable to attend.
Fabulous, I know. Yeah, the gala for, Congressman Donald Payne Jr. was absolutely great.
Right.
The congressman, I think, was Clyburn. Is he congressman or senator or what? Clyburn.
Right, congressman.
Congressman. And he wonderful speech. And so many people that we haven't seen in a while. And it was a great, great, affair. Everybody was dressed very beautifully, and it was at the Newark Club, downtown Newark. And next year, you will have to come. You will have to be there. Okay?
Well, I definitely said I had a conflict because, my family, every year around this time of the year, they always give a reunion, like the third weekend in July.
Yeah.
And that's where I was, But
we have just about 2 minutes, and I did tell you about Congressman Clyburn and a few other people there, a whole gang of people. I mean, the place was absolutely packed. So it was wonderful. I haven't seen some people that you don't see in a year. You see them, and you're glad to see them. So one was Gwendolyn Goldie Grant. She was there, and of course my nieces and nephews and so forth and so on, and son and daughters and so forth.
I'm sorry I missed it. It sounded
90
exciting.
90 seconds on the air here. Keep down here.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. Join us every today, every Wednesday, everyone, 8 until 9 p.m. And we will be back, and Eric Payne will be back with us. We're going to be starting the brand new shows, but in the fall, because we still have August to go. We've got to get out of town and get used to something, for the August.
Yeah,
so we're still going to be
doing
that. Okay, Wayne.
Well, I look forward. Okay, have a good week then, Kay.
You
Take
too.
Care.
And thanks again. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye now.
You should.